Good morning. In case you don't know, my name is Reverend Bill Clark, and I am absolutely delighted to be back and worshiping with all of you. There's been a slight change since I was here last year. I was on a hiatus from parish ministry, but I'm happy to let you know that I have once again taken up parish ministry. I am the consulting minister out on Martha's Vineyard, so I'm there for 10 days a month, and then the rest of the time in Provincetown. I mean, who can ask for anything better? Martha's Vineyard, Provincetown. Oh, woe is me. But it just feels really good to be back doing what I was called to do, so I wanted to share that with you. Amen to the choir. Mm-mm-mm. My friends, this is a day that has been given to us. It is a new day. It is a good day. It's a cold day, but it's a hallowed day. It's a day of potential and possibility. It is a day of hope and gladness, for we are together once again. May our time together be filled with movements of grace as we feel its wonder and its blessings within us, among us, and all around us. Yes, my friends, this is the day that has been given to us. Let us be glad and rejoice in this day.
This is actually one of my favorite times in a church service. It's time I get to talk to the children and the youth. So I'm going to invite the children of all ages. This is a visual, so if you guys can come down in front a little closer. I don't bite. Come on, you guys. Come on. Come on. Oh, look at them all. My God. This church is incredible. Incredible. How you guys doing? So just kind of gather around. It's a visual. All right. Don't touch the wheel of life. Okay. So this is what I... Oh, my gosh, there's more. It's a tad intimidating, isn't it? All these... Love you. So, who knows what this is?
A wheel.
It's a... I remember you. It's about to go... You're the boisterous one. Great. It's a bicycle wheel. So, I call it the wheel of life. So, let's say you woke up this morning, and you're kind of, you know, you woke up this morning, and you were a little bit sad. And it's cold, and you're praying for snow, and it didn't come, and you're hoping to snow tomorrow. So,
I pray for on Monday.
You pray for tomorrow. Well, you got to start early, dude. You know, you got to start early. God's pretty busy. So you're really kind of sad. But then you come downstairs, and your mom or your dad or your mom and your mom or dad or dad, however your family's made up, you come downstairs, and they say, we're going to have chocolate chip pancakes for breakfast. Oh, yay! Everybody's all happy. You don't like chocolate. I knew it. I knew it. Why did I say that? What kind of pancake do you like?
I don't like pancakes.
Meat pancakes.
Meat? We won't go there. So anyway, So you're having pancakes. You're having chocolate chip pancakes, and you're so excited and everything, and then your mom goes to start making it, or your dad, and suddenly you realize there's no chocolate chips.
Yay!
You're happy. Everybody else is? Sad. Right, right. Your mom's happy? She's allergic to chocolate. Well, you know, I appreciate you sharing that, but this is not about your mom. Stay with me, guys, please. So you're going on, and then you know, there's no chocolate chips, so your mom says, we're going to go out for breakfast. Yay! And you can get meat pancakes if you want. You can have sausage. You can have whatever you want. So you're all excited. Well, okay. And you're just getting your car, and you ran out of gas. Oh, you're all sad. So you're stuck there. So this is what life is like. Okay, shh. Thank you. This is what life is like. It goes around and around. You're happy, you're sad, you're depressed. But there's something in this wheel that doesn't move. Now I want you to gather around me so you can see it clearly. Something about this wheel. Come on, I don't bite. Something around this wheel is not moving. What is not moving? The middle. Excellent. The middle is not moving. So, okay. So the middle is called many different things. What's it called on a bicycle?
The axle.
The axle. You're good, Boot. An axle. But in this wheel of life, the center doesn't move. And the center is called many different things. Some people call it God. Some people call it love. Some people call it grace. You think so? I'm pretty clever, aren't I? So, but it doesn't matter what you call it. What's most important is you know that it's there. So as life can get spinning out of control sometimes, something is holding you in place. You don't know something? It's the center. So what are some words for this center that you would call it? Anybody?
The middle.
The middle? Anybody else?
The axle.
The axle, okay.
The
you're not playing my game, guys. So anyway.
What if you don't want to?
See me after church. So anyway. So the axle doesn't move, but the axle could be called something different. What do you adults out there call the center, the things that hold you in place? Love?
Hub?
Hub.
Spirit.
Could you say more about hub? The core. Spirit? Who said spirit?
Faith.
Something holds you in place that helps you not spin out of control. And you can keep love, and you can name it whatever you want. Especially as Unitarians, there are so many names for this. Your soul, that's one of them too. But the important thing is you know this. You know that something is helping you, something's holding you and not allowing you to spin out of space. And whether you talk to it or not, it doesn't matter, but it's there and it holds you. That's the message. Okay, can we go back to your seats? Thank you. You want to spin it? Yeah. Beautiful. It's a broken bicycle.
All right, at this time, we're going to have all the children and youth follow the lantern, which is going to carry our flame from our chalice to our religious education program, and Laura Cataldo Holmes is going to help us out today.
To the God that is called by many names, we ask that you look well upon our gathering this morning. We gather as a human family, seeking solace, comfort, and release. May we always remember that whatever we're going through in this life, my friends, you're not going through it alone. Amen, and blessed be. Michelle Wade is going to be here to talk about stewardship.
Hi, my name is Michelle Wade. My husband Keith and I started coming to FPC when William was a baby, so that makes it about 8 years now. And the thing that I want to talk to you about today is actually the struggle that we've had in our relationship with this church. And the reason I've chosen to talk about that is because I'm sure that there are other people here who struggle in their relationship with the church, and I want you to know that, at least in my case, the struggle has been fruitful. You know, when the first year or two that Keith and I were here, unfortunately, we hit with this long string of awkward events. For example, when I was here for about 2 years, I went to coffee hour and I picked up one of the church directories, and a woman who was there who didn't know me sort of lurched forward and grabbed the other end of the directory and tried to wrestle it out of my hands, telling me in a sort of panicked voice that the directory was for church people. We didn't want just any stranger to know our private information. And, you know, it worked out fine. It was fine. She relinquished control of the church directory. We went on our way. Everything was fine. But as somebody who was sort of new to the church, it's hard to just set that down and walk away. It's hard to view that as an isolated incident with an individual rather than sort of a horrific incident with the entire church. And there were some of those that happened in the early years. It was hard. And then by the time you get here, you're 3, 4, 5 years here, you're working on committees, you're working on projects, and you find that you're dealing with things that are philosophically really important to you. And you're trying to make changes that are important to you. And of course, anytime you're doing anything that's important to you, there will be differences of opinion. Keith and I can't schedule a summer vacation without differences of opinion. So anytime you're spending, you know, huge portions of your life working something out that's important, there will be differences of opinion. And again, sometimes it was hard for me to set those down and to let it go. And if you're here long enough and you work on enough committees, eventually your differences of opinion aren't even just with other church members. They're with the minister or the music director or the director of religious education or people who, once again, are difficult to distinguish from the entire church. But sometime a couple of years ago, I started to notice something. I'd have a difficult situation in a committee or a disagreement or somebody was irritating me in some way, and then you'd see them on Sunday so quickly after, you know, your disagreement. And you would try to find something nice to say, and sometimes it was sort of ridiculous, you know, oh, what beautiful shoes, are they new? But bless your hearts, every single time I did that, the person returned the favor. They always tried to be nice back to me. I never had anyone ever say, you know, I just can't talk to you right now, ever, at this church. And after years of trying to be nice, and having years of people trying to be nice back to me, eventually you get used to each other. And you become genuinely friendly with people maybe who weren't all that great to you at first. And that's really, it's really important to me now. Like, Keith and I didn't start out here at this church to figure out how to make friends with people we didn't like. We started out with an entirely different set of things we wanted to accomplish. We wanted a religious identity for our young son. We wanted him to be comfortable in church and place at weddings and funerals. We wanted to help build a tight-knit community where people take care of each other and they stick together, and we wanted a place where we could come regularly, where what we were supposed to be doing there was reflecting on the things in life that are important, rather than trying to figure out how the carpool for next week is going to work. And we got all that stuff from this church, and we got it almost immediately from the very first day that we got here. And those things really helped us in the first couple of years when we're fighting over the church directory to try to keep coming, to just keep trying. But this bit about making friends now, it's really important to me. And it might sound a little bit aggrandizing, but to me, it gives me hope for world peace, because if we can just keep trying to make friends with people, then maybe nations can do that too someday. So I'm so grateful to this church for that perspective, because, and I'm not sure I would have gotten it anywhere else, because normally you meet somebody, you don't hit it off all that well with them, and then you don't spend that much more time with them just voluntarily. But when you're in church and you're on committees and you're doing this stuff, sometimes not spending time with someone isn't really an option. So you learn to work it out. And, you know, I'm not sure that I'm actually nicer than I was 8 years ago, but I'm trying. And I am sure that at the very least I'm more compassionate and I'm more forgiving. When somebody says something to me that I view as wrong or rude or whatever, I'm more willing to let that go, and I'm more willing to keep trying with them. And I can honestly say that after 8 years, there's nobody in this church that I don't like. I like you all. And that's such a better place to be than where I was before. So I'm grateful to you for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that honest reflection. That was great. And I admire the way you stayed. I just have to comment on that. Many people, it's like a revolving doors in our churches. If their needs aren't met, they walk out. But you stayed. And I think that's a testimony to this entire church. So thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. To the choir. Woo! Fabulous. I have two readings this morning. The first reading is by Agnes DeMille that she wrote in a book of the life and work of Martha Graham. She writes, "There is a life vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening of the spirit that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium, and it will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares with other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours, clearly and directly, and to keep the channels open." Our second reading is taken from the Reverend Peter Fleck in his book, Living with Grace. He writes, grace is a blessing that is undeserved, unsolicited, and unexpected. A blessing that brings a sense of the divine order of things into our lives. The ways of grace are mysterious. We cannot always figure them out. But we know grace by its fruits, by the blessings of its work. Here end today's readings. I love to dance. Speaking of dancing, yes. And I always have. I hope, God willing, I always will. And I mean all kind of dancing, from Texas two-step West Coast swing to jitterbugs to the waltz, lindy's, cha-chas, marangas, rock, hip-hop. I love it all. I love challenging my body, especially at this age, to move to the music, to its beat or its offbeat, and totally just losing myself in the movement. It's really about the movement, the dancing. For you see, movement has always been important to me. Whether it's in dancing or swimming or walking, it's the movement of my body through space or water that in some way connects me to my life force, my vitality. Why I've been known to draw the curtains in my house, turn up the music, and just, I don't know, just dance, let my hair down, so to speak. And truth be told, it's not so much about the choreography of the dance as it is about the miracle of the movement. For you see, today's sermon is not about the dance, cha-chas, lindy's, or rumbas, but today's sermon is about the movement, the choreography of language, the choreography of love, and the choreography of grace. Now, this idea of language having a choreography or movement may seem a bit odd. How does language move? Yet the only other language I'm able to use is a language with a beautiful choreography, for it is American Sign Language, the language used by over 2 million deaf Americans, the language now being recognized by high schools and universities as a, quote, legitimate foreign language, and thus fulfilling foreign language requirements. I know, when I went to Harvard Divinity School, I had to petition the academic dean to accept American Sign Language as my foreign language requirement. I saw all of my colleagues and friends struggling with Greek, Latin, or Hebrew. At 45 years old, that was not going to work for me. But they also said that they wanted a language that you're going to use in your ministry. And in my student ministry, there were two or three deaf children in the community, so it worked for me. And the language that one, when you articulate a sign or a sentence, the hands glide through the air with a movement that is beautiful, dance-like, and full of grace. Grace. Now here's a term with a varied set of meanings and messages. It can be used in terms of dance and movement when we say that people move with such grace as being graceful or full of grace. We say dancers and even sports figures move with grace. I have a friend of mine who's a sign language interpreter, and I feel does her job of interpreting with amazing amount of grace. Her hands move through the air that it gives language new meaning and new messages. It is like a dance. This being grateful suggests that one moves freely without impediment. Nothing stops or prevents one's movement. There's been nothing added to or nothing subtracted from. Rather, we take away that which impedes our movement. We take away what may prevent us from doing whatever it is we do. This is grace. If we are walking or dancing or eating, teaching, preaching, meditating, being, and rid of all the impediments which hinder our free movement, we are rid of all the obstacles that block us from being who we are meant to be. This is grace. A grace that indicates not an addition to, but rather a subtraction or removal of those things that may hinder us from being who we are. This is grace. Now, on a theological level, grace offers a very different meaning. It's not a subtraction from, rather it's not an addition to one's being. From my childhood religious education, grace was something that was poured into us from above, from God. Grace filled our souls like water fills a pitcher. Only this tap was divinely controlled. I had an image of God as the head plumber in the control of a vast array of grace-filled faucets. The Encyclopedia of Religious states, grace stands primarily not for human virtue, but for God's presence. Grace is a divine activity in human history and human lives. I like this definition because it claims grace as an activity. It indicates movement. The word grace originates from the word gratuitous, something that is freely given or offered, a gift without charge or condition. Now, combining these two definitions, we then see grace as a divine activity that is freely given to you without any condition. These varying definitions of grace are beautifully and gracefully articulated in the movements of American Sign Language. In ASL, there are two variants for the sign grace. One is grace. Grace. Pretty visually recommended, obvious of where grace comes from. This movement, although linear, says that grace comes from God. The other is grace. Grace. Let's try it. Palms your hands up in front of your heart, and it comes out. Grace. Grace. Whether one definition suit or sign best suits your understanding of grace, it's the movement of grace, the choreography of grace, that I hold up to you today for today's good news. Grace is a blessing, we heard from the Reverend Peter Fleck. This blessing of grace, whether from above or from within, produces movement, produces choreography and change. We know grace by its fruits, by the blessings of its work. It's interesting to note that in American Sign Language, the sign for blessings has two similar choreography. There are two variants for the signs for blessings. The first is indicating taking a prayer from your mouth. Take your hands, fold them, put them together. Blessing. Blessing. Indicating taking a prayer from the mouth and moving it over the person being graced with. Blessings. Blessings. In this sign, there's also the second sign is a prayer from your mind. Blessings. Blessings. Whether it's a prayer from your mouth, blessings, or a prayer from your mind, blessings. And who says American Sign Language is not a language of theological scholarship? Have it. Eat your heart out. For today, however, it's not the place of anatomical origin, which is important, grace coming from above or from within, or blessings coming from the mouth or the mind. Rather, it's the movement, this choreography of blessings and grace that we honor as that divine activity. And this movement of grace blessings can come at any time, at any place, and in any form. I was living in Provincetown at the time and taking one of my many walks on the long, white, sandy beaches. It was early spring, so the crowds had yet not arrived. And on this particular morning, as I was walking along the seemingly deserted beaches and really enjoying my solitude, I suddenly heard a woman shouting at the top of her lungs, "Blessings come! Blessings! Blessings come!" And I paused to ponder this rather surprisingly encounter. The woman's hands and arms were waving wildly in the air what appeared to be a skyward direction, and as she continued, her shouting, "Blessings! Blessings come! Blessings!" And I paused a bit. I thought, "You go, girl. I mean, really, you go. That is one way to get a blessing. You shout for it. You demand it. Blessings come." And I became so excited at what I interpreted as this major theological encounter that I readied myself to join in with her triumphant chorus of "Blessings come!" when I noted the arrival of a large golden Labrador retriever. Blessings had come. The woman received exactly what she asked for. And it was a beautiful, beautiful four-legged canine. Writer Henry Jacobson states, "Try claiming God's blessings. instead of merely longing for them. That day on the shores of Cape Cod, just for a mere theological moment, I witnessed a claim in with God's blessings. All right, that's a bad thing. The blessing turned out to be a dog. The theological implications were significant. It is not, however, the question of claiming or shouting or demanding God's blessings I hold up to you today for any theological examination. Rather, it's the choreography of grace and the movement of blessings which is the most important. I invite you to think back to a time in your life when perhaps undeserved or unexpected, this sudden movement occurred that pulled you up or pushed you out or maybe it just held you. Just held you for a moment. Perhaps this movement of grace, gently or not so gently, guided you to a place you never imagined. Say Texas, for example. My first church was in Texas. It was not planned. Or perhaps the movement of grace gifted you with words you long needed to say. I love you. I'm sorry. Or one of the hardest. I forgive you. I forgive you. 17th century French priest Jean-Pierre Gassendi wrote, "Why learn the theory of divine grace when you can become the very instrument of its operation?" In this choreography of grace, we become the instrument. This is the blessings of its work. We become the instrument filled with grace. Being the instrument of operation for the movement of grace, we are changed. We are moved. Things somehow are different. There's an order to our life, an order that allows freedom from our impediments. Or it may simply open our eyes. I was once blind, but now I see. See what had always been there, but perhaps not seen before. I was traveling in France. It was November of 1975, and I was on a hitchhiking adventure through Europe with a very good friend of mine. One could safely do that in 1975, hitchhike. We were on the French Riviera, staying in a youth hostel, and we were in Nice. We had decided to spend the day apart, traveling together, hitchhiking together, hiking together, camping together, was placing a strain on our friendship. So we decided to spend the day apart. My friend Mindy went off to Monaco by herself, and I chose to stay in Nice and spend the day alone. It was my first time being alone since we began traveling together in September. I strolled to a local seaside cafe, began writing in my journal of the joys, excitement, and frustrations of traveling. I was anticipating the winter months coming up and our mode of transportation, hitchhiking. Although economical in nature, it was also cold, unpredictable, and frankly becoming rather tiresome. I'd also want to try this traveling gig on my own. The original plan we had was to go to Israel for the winter. Mindy had studied there and had many friends doing her undergraduate work in Jerusalem. I felt, though, that she was taking me and leading me to Israel. Deep inside, I wanted to venture out on my own. Where to go? How to do this? As I wrote in my journal, the idea of getting a job surfaced. I could get a job somewhere and be stationary for the winter and then travel more in spring. But where do I get a job? I only spoke English. Go to England, I thought to myself. Very clever. Get a job in London and stay there until spring. It all became very clear as the movement of my pen guided my unfolding thoughts. How to find a job? Oh, by the International Herald Tribune, I wrote. We were looking at the paper just last night at the hostel and noted the many jobs being offered. By the newspaper, and my journal entry ended right there. I immediately got up and strolled off to find a local newsstand to buy the International Herald Tribune. After purchasing the paper and my package of drum tobacco and rolling papers, it was very European to roll your own cigarettes. I strolled to another cafe. I love that French cafe society. Cafe au lait, your own rolled cigarettes. I felt very far from Bethel, Connecticut. I felt very, very bohemian. As I found my table by the sea, I turned to the back of the paper where the classifieds were found. Suddenly what I saw jumped out at me. It was the only ad on the paper. It was in bold letters. It said, Bill Clark of Bethel, Connecticut, call home. I thought someone was playing a joke on me. I turned around to see if someone was doing that. Then I put the paper down, and I picked it up again. Bill Clark of Bethel, Connecticut, call home. I was stunned. I remember looking around, thinking someone was playing a trick. I put the paper down, read it again. Bill Clark of Bethel, Connecticut, call home. It was plain as day. It must be my father, I thought. He had had two heart attacks already. Something must have happened. I gulped my cafe au lait. I paid my bill and rushed out. It took me a few tries to find the local post office, and I made my call home. It was not my father. It was my mother. She had suffered a stroke, a major stroke. She was in a rehab hospital. Things were different. Things had changed. My sister told me they had run the ad in the Tribune for 3 days, hoping that I would see it. I had not seen it the last night at the hostel. This was the last day the ad was in, the very last day. The ways of grace are mysterious. We cannot always figure them out, but we know grace by its fruits, by the blessings of its work. It was this mysterious movement of grace that got in my thoughts and hands that day, November of 1975. I know it was grace. I know it by the blessings of its work. What happened to me in Nice seemed then like a normal and natural flow of events. And maybe that's what grace is, simply the beautiful and natural movements in our everyday lives. This movement that occurred within each passing moment. Father Jean-Pierre believed that every moment and every event in life is sacred. God speaks to everyone, he wrote, through what is happening to them moment by moment. And maybe Peter Fleck is right too, that grace doesn't startle us, for grace is everywhere in every moment. We may not discern it, we may not recognize it, because we are looking for something special, something extraordinary. Mystic poet Kabir wrote, "Are you looking for me? I'm in the next seat. My shoulder is next to yours. You will not find me in stupas, nor in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, nor in masses, nor in kirtans, not in legs winding around your neck, nor eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time." Kabir says, "Student, tell me, what is God? He is the breath inside the breath. Are you looking for me? I'm in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. Maybe what we are looking for is really that close. Grace is that close. The choreography of grace, the movement of grace, may begin with each and every breath we take. For grace is everywhere, my friends. Within us, above us, below us, all around us. If grace is not about human virtue, but divine activity and the presence of the sacred in our lives, then it is everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, look around you. Look around this beautiful sanctuary, the place that you call your religious and spiritual home. Look around at the people whom you meet here, the people whom you actually like now, the people whom you love and laugh with, and feel the movement, the presence of the sacred in your lives. Blessings come. Look around the community you're building here, this fabulous community. Look at all the children you have in this church, the visions you are being realized, the unimagined possibilities being actualized. Blessings. Blessings come. Look around at the hope being offered to our children and our youth, the future of this world. Blessings. Blessings come. The blessings we receive from the choreography of grace is a simple yet profound message that every moment is holy, that every person is hallowed, and that First Parish Stowe Acton, with hope and hallowedness, remains your spiritual home. Now, building and sustaining a spiritual and religious home takes continued movement. It takes the vital energy, the individual life force of us to keep moving and keep flowing forwards, to keep moving unhindered and unblocked. I think of the AOSA sign, grace flowing from the heart. Grace. So when you may be challenged by confusion or conflict, discouragement or disappointment, the feelings and the emotions are not stuffed and stifled. But the choreography of grace grants us the courage, the compassion, and the commitment to speak our truth, yet speak it with love. The choreography of grace and the blessings of its work will allow us to stay and do our spiritual work of respecting and affirming and promoting everyone's human worth and dignity. I can sense this choreography of grace as this UU church, as many churches do, struggle with financial burdens and budget. Yet always remembering that in these struggles, we are reassuring everyone that the possibilities and progress, hope and hallowness are alive and well here in First Parish Stowe Acton. The choreography of grace with all of its movements and blessings will then allow us here to create and build that beloved church community where love is the doctrine, service is the prayer, and dwelling together in peace is actualized. Because just think of it. Just think of it, my friends. If we can do this here, if we can create a community truly based on love and acceptance, if we could all feel that movement and the spirit right here in this incredible sanctuary and church, then maybe, I don't know, just maybe, the violence out there would stop. The hatred and the warfare would cease, and peace, a real, deep, and everlasting peace would prevail. My friends, think of the possibility. Think of the potential this church has. Feel the movement and feel the spirit. Blessed be and amen. Let's take a few moments of silent meditation, please. Oh,
amen. Wow, my gosh.
Can I borrow you guys out in Martha's Vineyard? We're struggling with music out there. My friends, it has been my honor to be with you. Please stop by a coffee hour, say hello, and have a whole